Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham was not a believer until he was 75 years old. At that time, he received a call from God. He lived in the Ur of the Chaldeans, which was modern-day Iraq. God called to Abraham, and he sent him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. He didn't specify to him where he was going to go. And here it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith he obeyed when he was called to go out to the place. We often do things like that too. We just don't always realize it. We don't consider it faith. Even people who say they don't have faith do things by faith. The doctor tells me, for example, I need surgery and therefore I trust the doctor who I don't actually know to perform a surgery, to open up my body, go inside of my body, tinker with things inside of my body, put it all back together again, and I don't even know this guy. I've never had lunch with the doctor. I've never been over to the doctor's house. I've never spent any more time with the doctor than the time that I see him in his office or in the hospital or where have you. But I trust him to the point where I actually allow him to cut me open and do things inside. Really, that's doing something by faith. Faith is not difficult. Faith is not difficult. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. The word obeyed in the original language is hupakuo. And it literally means to hear under. To hear under. It refers to faith obedience. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word, Romans 10:17. And I place myself under the things that the word has told me. Well, that's faith to faith in Romans 1:17. I place myself under the things that God says to me through His Word. Now, there was a result to this. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham placed himself under in submission to what God said to him. And he went. He left his home. He left his family. He went into a strange land where he had never been before, and on top of it, he didn't know his final destination. But Abraham heard and obeyed. He heard and he did something. Abraham had a kinetic faith. He heard and it resulted in activity, in action. Abraham had kinetic faith. It was that quality of faith, that kinetic faith, that worked for Abraham to become the father of faith, of our faith, of the faith of the Jews. Abraham had a kinetic faith. Consider in Genesis 22:9-13, God had told Abraham to take his one son and offer him up for an offering. Go 3 days into the wilderness. They went to the mountainous region of Moriah, which scholars tell us where he actually ended up was in what would 2,000 years later be Mount Calvary. So he took them there. He offered them up. Now, Abraham was doing this strictly by faith. Abraham had a kinetic faith. Abraham had no obstacles to prevent the activity of faith, not even whatever, I'm sure, natural misgivings he may have had, simply because he was a human being, a man who was being asked to sacrifice his own son. But he trusted God, so his faith became kinetic. With a kinetic faith, Abraham obeyed God, even when he didn't understand, because God's word became the issue, and that's how faith becomes kinetic. God's word becomes the issue. So he takes Isaac, they walk 3 days into the wilderness. That's a serious kinetic faith. It's not like he didn't have time to change his mind. He didn't have time to think about it. He didn't have time to get doubts about what he was going to do. No, he was heading for this. He knew what he was doing. He was going to do it. He knew why he was doing it. And that's why he was going to do it. God said it. I'm going to do it. That's kinetic faith. I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to question God. I'm going to trust him. He had a promise from God. He knew Isaac was the fulfillment of that promise. He didn't question God about circumstances he didn't understand. He simply obeyed God with obedience by faith, and his faith was kinetic. They walked 3 days. He puts them on the altar. Now, this was an amazing thing on Isaac's part. People often picture Isaac as some little kid. Isaac was no little kid. He was 21-year-old shepherd boy. That kid was a strapping young man. Abraham, by that time, was quite old, about 100 years old, a little over 100 years old. Isaac could have very easily had his way there, but Isaac yielded because he too had a kinetic faith. He didn't try to save his life. He didn't try to talk his way out of it. He didn't try to convince his father otherwise, and he certainly didn't try to manipulate the situation by force or argument. Isaac had a kinetic faith. The faith of those two men is what allowed those two men to bring in a world-changing development. Isaac became the father of Jacob. Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs of Israel. The patriarchs of Israel is where the Son of God came to. That Son of God, the offspring of the patriarchs of Israel, is our Savior. Imagine if Abraham did not have a kinetic faith. Imagine if he had a passive faith. Imagine if he had a faith like so many people, I believe, but don't ask me to do anything beyond my comfort zone. But Abraham had a kinetic faith, and his kinetic faith made him the father of our faith. In James 2:21, was not our father Abraham justified by works, offering up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith worked with his works, and out of the works, the faith was made perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, saying Abraham believed God, and it was counted for righteousness to him. And he was called friend of God. Faith worked with his works. The original language for the word worked is synergeo. And it means to work together with a fellow laborer. It's from the word synergo, and it's a fellow worker. Faith and works are fellow workers. They work together. Faith and works are fellow workers. This is extremely important, that faith possesses work. Now, work there is simply talking about faith response, the work of faith. But nevertheless, a faith response is frequently an overt activity. Sometimes it's an inward mental activity. But very often it is an overt activity. A young man is called to be a pastor, and he goes to Bible college to become a pastor, to be trained. Well, that is an overt activity. The faith response elicits an activity. Without that activity elicited by faith, of what value is my faith if it has no fellow worker? There's faith alone. But faith without a fellow worker is not developed, perfected, matured faith. In Genesis 18:23-32, Abraham asked God regarding Sodom. He pleaded with God. He said, God, if there are 50 righteous, would you spare Sodom? God said, I will. 40, I will. All the way down to 10, I will. For 10, I'll do it. Abraham, because he had a kinetic faith, understood that he had power with God. He understood that he could come to God, talk to him, in fact, even you could say, in a way, debate with God. Moses did the same thing when God wanted to destroy Israel, and Moses interceded for Israel, even though they were wicked, he interceded for them, and God relented from destroying Israel. Moses had power with God. Abraham had power with God. Why? They both had this kinetic faith. God said they did. Simple as that. God said they did. They weren't presumptuous. They didn't do a part from God's saying. But they weren't hesitant either. God said they did. Abraham didn't say, God, how am I going to get there? Where am I going to live? What am I going to do? No, Abraham had no idea where he was going. God said, go. Abraham went. He didn't even say where. God said, go. Abraham went. Where, God? Nope, not a question. When, God? Not a question. What am I going to do there, God? Not a question. God said, he did. Kinetic faith is like that. God says, we do. And so Abraham talked to God, interceded on the behalf of Sodom. Unfortunately, there were not 10 righteous found in Sodom. But Abraham's faith had power with God. Power comes when our faith is practically obedient. This is the power of faith. Our faith becomes practically obedient. God says, I want you to do whatever. Go over there, talk to that person. And I don't say to God, well, I don't know what to say. I'm going to feel awkward. What if they think I'm stupid? What if they think I'm weird? God, I don't want to do that. God said, go over there. No, I don't think so, God. I'm going to kind of be embarrassed and they're going to laugh at me. I don't think so, God. That is not a kinetic faith. Kinetic faith, God says, I do. God says, give that person $10. They're a missionary and they don't have anything to eat. Give them $10 or $100 or whatever it is that God puts on your heart. And you do it. God says, you do. God says, I want you to go to that country and I want you to be a missionary. Now, we don't do things in a haphazard manner. If God calls a young person, let's say they're 18 years old on the mission field, unless there is a provision there at the time where there is a pastor, a local assembly, at least a pastor and a team, that young person will instead first get prepared to go on the mission field. God says to a young man, you're going to be a pastor. That young man doesn't go and start trying to be a pastor, trying to pastor a church. No, that young man goes to be properly prepared in a Bible college so that he can be a pastor who knows how to rightly divide the word of truth. But nevertheless, his preparation is part of his response to God said. He has a kinetic faith. Now, the thing about a kinetic faith, examples like that, young man's called to be a pastor and he's got to go for a few years to Bible college and then he's going to take some time to develop that gift because it's going to take some time. Kinetic faith must have longevity. If my faith does not have longevity, I will not have a kinetic faith. It must have longevity. In Romans 6:4, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. The power of faith gives us the privilege of walking in the newness of life. It's by faith that I go to the cross. Because the cross is produced in me through the Word of God that builds my faith. And when that Word becomes my frame of reference, then I have the most fundamental basis of what faith is. I'm thinking with God. It takes over my frame of reference. And when it takes over my frame of reference, my old sin nature is pushed aside and God's nature prevails. Therein is the cross. Faith brings us into resurrection life in Ephesians 2:15 and 16 and Galatians 2:20. In Galatians 5:6, in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Now I have to be careful about this, that I don't try to determine the works of my faith through religious activity. Sometimes when you say to people, well, faith requires works, they'll get very religious on you. They'll start to strive. They'll strive to perform. And they start to take on these religious standards. They try to take on some religious laws. Well, Psalm 94:20 says that the throne of iniquity works mischief by the law. Shall it have fellowship with you? Shall the throne of iniquity fellowship with you? You see, that's that circumcision and uncircumcision trying to avail something. This outward manifestation of religious behaviors does not manifest, avail, give any profit of any sort. It's not that I'm doing something per se. It's that I'm responding. And my activity is a response, not a determination. Faith working by love, working energeo, to energize. Love is the energy of faith. If I'm going to understand what it means that faith works with works, that faith is a fellow laborer, a fellow worker with works, I have to understand this part. Love is the energy of faith. If I am to understand kinetic faith, I must understand that love is the energy of faith. Energy. What is energy? Energeo. What is energy? And if you ask somebody that, they'll kind of scratch their head for a moment and they say, well, that's the thing that kind of energizes you, right? It gives you, I don't know, a compulsion or a motive or something. That's not how it works. This is where a little bit of physics comes in really handy. This is actually a beautiful statement related to physics and spirituality. Energy is the ability to do work. Energy is the ability to do work. Faith has the ability to do work through love. Love is the energy, the ability to do work of faith. So where there is no love, there is no work of faith. Love is absolutely required for something to be a work of faith because faith is a fellow laborer with works. But if there is no love, then works do not exist in legitimate form. So love and faith are fellow laborers that have an activity that they manifest. Now power, which is what you receive from faith, the power of faith, power is the rate at which work can be done. So this takes on a new meaning that perhaps we might be accustomed to. But power is the rate at which work can be done. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, the Word of God says that in perilous times, people will be having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people, we're to turn away. So they have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. They deny not just the love, but the activity. So they'll say, I'm a Christian. Are you available to go on the mission field if God called? It's not in my plans. I'm a Christian. Are you available to be faithful to a call even though it may interfere with your job? Well, you know, a job is very important and I got to feed my family and I can find another church somewhere else. So, no, the job has to come first because I have to be responsible, right? How about responsible to God? Where does that factor in? Well, I'm feeding my family. That's responsible to your circumstances. How about responsible to God? I'm not saying don't feed your family. I'm saying seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you in Matthew chapter 6. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. I feel like God is calling me to some sort of a role of leadership in the church. Have you been to Bible college? Well, no, I just feel like God is calling me into leadership. I don't feel like He's calling me into Bible college. Well, how are you going to be trained for leadership then? Well, that's different. A form of godliness, but deny its power. I remember years ago, we had a guy who came. He loved the message. He was a nice guy. I liked him. But he didn't want to stay because we weren't going to make him the head of anything. And he wanted to be the head of something. And eventually he ended up in a church where they made him the head of, I think it was outreach or something. But why? I mean, I'm glad they had outreach, but why? What was it that he was after? You see, you don't choose that on your own. That's one of the things about response. I don't choose what I respond to. I respond to God and what He says to me. His leading, His calling. That's what I respond to. I don't pick and choose according to natural preferences, circumstances. I respond to God. Abraham didn't choose to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldeans after God had called him out. And then he had a faith that was kinetic because he obeyed God, didn't question it, did the activity not that Abraham chose, but that God chose. Just because I'm busy doesn't mean I have a kinetic faith. I may be very busy and it may not be faith at all. Who am I responding to? We don't need busy. That's circumcision or uncircumcision. We need a faith that is a fellow worker with love. In order to have the ability for work. And when I maintain myself in that, it takes me somewhere. In James 2:17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You cannot have faith and no works and still call it a living faith. Faith, if it's not kinetic, is dead. If it has no activity of life, it's dead. Now, power is energy through time. Faith produces power. The power of faith. Kinetic faith is the power of faith. Power is energy through time. Therefore, the power of faith, kinetic faith, is our ability to continuously receive love to sustain a faith response. Or you could say it this way. It's our moment-by-moment relationship with God's love and its effects. In a practical sense. It's a complete love relationship through oneness with Christ at the cross, and that complete love relationship is maximum power in the believer's life. Maximum sustaining capacity for faith response that produces an activity. Therein is the believer's kinetic faith. Our faith has to be kinetic, or it's not a living faith. The activity of life determines that something is alive. Even in biology, there are 6 activities of an organism that determine, that are evidence that that organism is living. If my faith does not possess any faith response activity, my faith is not a kinetic faith, it's dead. In order to be kinetic, it must produce activity. A faith response always involves an activity, whether it's overt, whether it's mental, there's always an activity. Applying doctrine to my thinking is an activity. Responding in faith to God's call is an activity. Love one another as I have loved you in John 13:34. That's the great commandment. And so my faith produces the activity of loving one another as Christ has loved me. That is a kinetic faith. If God said it, I do it. Continuing in verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Well, we know that in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But response, which requires activity, which requires the energy provided by love, because the only energy that faith can have and still be faith, that can only be love, because love is the energy that God provides for faith to become kinetic. So faith response is the fruit of faith, just like love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22. When we walk in the Spirit, we manifest it with continuous faith response. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Love is the energy of faith. Love and faith are fellow workers. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit guides me in all truth in John 16:13. So the two ministries of the Holy Spirit, the Word and love, those two things are fellow workers to produce fruit in my life and result in a continuous faith response where my life is faith to faith. In verse 19 of James 2, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Now, here we have something that can confuse believers. And sometimes if they get confused about this, they'll either try to strive or they'll become passive. Love is the energy of faith. There is something, including in the spiritual realm, called potential energy. Potential energy is something possessed by virtue of position. Let me give you an example. You have water that through an aqueduct of some sort is well above the ground. That water possesses potential energy, albeit it may not be doing any work. But the potential is there. If that water be allowed to fall on, let's say, a mill wheel, then the potential energy of the water will become kinetic energy, the activity of the water as it's falling, and it can turn the wheel. It can do work. It can turn the mill wheel. And when it's well up high, it's got a lot of potential energy, but once that water falls to the ground, it has zero potential energy. It can do no more work. And as it's falling, it can have kinetic energy. It can do work. It can turn a mill wheel. Well, likewise with spiritual faith. Spiritual things work the same way. Some people have faith potential because of their position, but no kinetic faith. They hear the word of God. They're faithful to their church. They're faithful to be taught. They know they're saved. They know they're seated above in heavenly places. And indeed they are. They've got all kinds of potential. They know that through Christ they can do anything. Nothing is impossible for them. But they don't do. They don't respond. They stay faithful to church. God says, go over there and be a missionary. Nope, not doing that, but I am going to stay faithful to my church here. They have faith potential. They do not have kinetic faith. If they actually applied the doctrine that they have learned in the details of life, whether great or small, then their faith would become kinetic. Faith potential becomes kinetic faith when I apply the Word of God through faith obedience in the details of my life, whether they are small details or whether they are large details, that doesn't matter. I apply the Word of God that I have learned by faith in the details of my life, and now I make decisions on the basis of how I apply that Word. Now I have kinetic faith that started with faith potential. There will be no kinetic faith if there is no faith potential. This is why it's so important that we get built up in the Word of God. The Word of God is what develops that faith in us. The love of God is our co-worker that gives us the ability for activity. And the way that I sustain myself in the Word of God and the love of God in John 15:5 is what produces fruit. In other words, that is what sustains my faith activity, or you could say that is what sustains my kinetic faith. But first, I have to possess faith potential. There is no such thing as a kinetic faith unless it is preceded by faith potential. In James 2:24, you see then that a man is justified out of works and not out of faith only. So the Word of God in Romans 10:17 gives us faith potential. Kinetic energy is the release of potential energy. The water is now falling and hitting the mill wheel. Kinetic energy is the release of potential energy. Now, potential energy is the energy of an object because of its motion, because of its activity. Kinetic faith is the faith of a person because of their activity as a faith response to God, co-laboring with love, that is the energy. Now, kinetic energy, we can calculate this very simple formula in physics. It's 1/2 of the mass multiplied by velocity squared. This is how you get kinetic faith. Love is the energy of faith. Now, there are two workers. There is work, and then there's a fellow worker, faith. Love is the ability for the work. So you have two fellow workers, faith and the ability for work. So what is this formula? Kinetic faith is 1/2 of those two workers multiplied by the rate at which work is done, by how it is sustained in its activity. And so you could say 1/2 of the two and then multiplied by the square, not just added to it, but multiplied by love. My faith exponentially increased, exponentially energized, exponentially influenced by the love of God. And now I have kinetic faith. That kinetic faith increases in power as I receive more and more love of God. So a person receives the Word of God, but they don't just receive the Word of God, they keep themselves in the love of God and they bear much fruit. And eventually, in two verses from that, in John 15:7, the person keeps themselves in the love of God and they receive the word of God. And before you know it, whatever they ask, it'll be done for them. And therein is power. And it comes because they constantly build their faith through a healthy intake on a daily basis of the word of God, but additionally never neglecting keeping themselves in the love of God. And they keep themselves in the love of God more and more. Velocity squared. They keep themselves in the activity of love and they grow in that activity with a developing capacity for more and more. As they receive more of it, they can hold more of it. As they receive more of it, they have a greater capacity for a faith response. And before you know it, their entire life is faith to faith. There is no air between them and the next faith response. Between the first faith response, the next faith response, between receiving the word, responding to the word, there's no air in between. It's immediate, it's instant, and it grows. It becomes greater and greater, both in its effect within the person, but also in its effect through the person. It's exponential. Before long, Isaiah says in Isaiah 6:8, when God said, "Who shall go for us?" He says, "Send me, here I am, send me." Me, I'll go. Where? I don't care. How long? I don't care. Where? I don't care. When? I don't care. Just send me. That's power from a well-developed kinetic faith. In Romans 4:20, Abraham didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. In Hebrews 4:6, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, that is to say, into rest in verse 5, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. There is an opponent to faith. That opponent is the tempter. And the tempter will tempt for many reasons. One of the reasons is because sin is an obstacle to faith. Another reason is because he wants to paralyze our capacity with fear, so he tempts us with fear. He tempts us to get us to look at our surroundings like he did Adam and Eve. And when we look at our surroundings, we start to see weaknesses. And then we start to hide ourselves. And this is fear. Or he tempts us by attacking our sin nature and getting us to do things outside of faith, even though it may not be outward sin, but perhaps simply doubt, insecurity, anxiety. Self-orientation, what does that mean? What are they saying, doing about me? Temptations, Matthew 4:4 is a classic example, are the tempter trying to eliminate the plan, the purpose, and the desire of God to bless the individual. They did not, that is to say Israel, enter into his rest because of unbelief. God intended to bring Israel into the promised land originally in 11 days. And yet they ended up in the wilderness for 40 years because of unbelief. They could not receive the blessing of God because of unbelief. Imagine if Abraham, when he was in the Ur of the Chaldeans, instead of going out obeying God by faith, said, I don't think so. I'm 75 years old. I've got responsibilities. I've got things to do. I've got my plans. I've got my family. I don't think so. Where would we be? Where would he be? But yet, this is what people are like. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. Why? Temptation. Temptation is not always temptation for outward sin. Sometimes it is temptation for a lack of faith in Romans 14:23. That's what he was tempting Jesus with. If you are the Son of God. He's trying to take him right out of faith. In Genesis 3:1 with Eve, did God really say? Does that make any sense in the original language? It's taking her right out of faith. And when he takes her out of faith, he eliminates the plan, the purpose, and the desire of God to bless them. This happens to people. You have the word of God. Circumstances happen. And you start to worry about the circumstance. You have the love of God and the word of God, because those are the two fellow laborers. Somebody says something about you, and you start to stew. And you've just lost the plan, purpose, and desire of God to bless you. Bitterness builds up in the heart because we will not forgive, and we say, well, they didn't ask for forgiveness. Nowhere does it say that they first have to ask for forgiveness. Luke 6, forgive and you'll be forgiven. That is to say, release them by faith from the sin, the bondage of their sin. You're attempting to keep them in a prison of their mistake, their failure, their wrong. I don't care how guilty they are. If you keep them in prison to their guilt, you will be imprisoned by their guilt. By faith you forgive. By faith you love. By faith you're kind. By faith you're patient toward people. By faith you don't think evil. Yes, evil may have taken place. Nobody even denies that even took place. But you don't think on it. Because if you do, you fail the grace of God. And a root of bitterness develops in your heart. And then there is no blessing to the individual, because the temptation to not love, not forgive, not be patient, not be kind, whatever it is, the temptation was brought to eliminate God's plan and God's purpose and God's desire to bless. In Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you in an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief is the result of the throne of iniquity. We see this in Genesis 3. This was its first human instance. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is a tree ultimately of self-orientation. We see this in Genesis 3:7. Self-orientation is iniquity. That's what happened to Lucifer in Ezekiel 28:15-18. He became self-oriented because he was beautiful, and therein was his iniquity. His iniquity was manifested when he started a rebellion against God. But at first, it took place in his heart where he stewed against God. And that was inward. And then the inward became outward. It's like that with us. It's simply evil. Inward becomes outward. He says, take heed lest any one of you in an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In Ezekiel 28:15-18, Lucifer in his evil heart, in his heart of iniquity, which became a governing force in his life, evil is a government, it's the government of Satan. When self-orientation became a governing force in his heart, he initiated a rebellion that resulted in one-third of the angels being cast out of heaven in Revelation 12. But on earth, we do the same thing. We take on iniquity, self-orientation. We do it through Satan's initiations, then he trains us into that, and then he doesn't have to waste time on us because he has us well trained into self-orientation. When it takes place, that self-orientation will first cause me to look at myself, and ultimately it'll cause me to hide from God, to remove myself from him. I've seen this happen a few times in the past. Somebody becomes self-oriented. They start to rebel inwardly against the authority that God has placed in their life. Eventually, they rebel outwardly, and eventually they deny Christ altogether. That is evil in a heart of unbelief. That heart has no power, because it has no energy of love and no faith of the Spirit's words. The promises of God mean nothing. And as a result, the person becomes, in the angelic conflict, weak as a kitten. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. In self-orientation, they couldn't stand against simple temptation when God had very clearly spoken and given a prohibition. But they were weak through self-orientation. They could not stand. There was no power of faith. The power of faith is really what we need to sustain us in Satan's world system. It is God's provision to be here on earth when the devil is the god of the world system. There are all kinds of principalities, powers, and rulers in dark places within the atmosphere, and though we cannot see them, we see their effects very frequently. Now, sometimes that gives people some trouble because they can't quite figure that out. They can in an abstract way, but they don't understand the tangibility of this. I have a hat, and it says Texas. I have another hat, and it says Flagstaff, Arizona. I have another hat, of all things, it says Zimbabwe. And there's a little label inside all three of those hats, made in China. I've never been to China, but I see the effects of China in my hat. It's like that. How do I stand against the wiles of the devil? Faith. Because that's where the power is. It's a co-laborer with love. and it gives me life. In Romans 1:17, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Faith to faith. Receiving the word, responding to the word. This is my relationship to God. The righteousness of God is a relationship. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and lack of relationship to God of men who hold the truth but not in a relationship with the Savior. Not in a faith response with the Savior. We live by the power of faith, keeping ourselves in the love of God, keeping ourselves in the Word of God. And when the two fellow workers are present, then activity is the result. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.